Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to the Voice of the American Redoubt, and Merry Christmas. This is the week of Christmas. It is great to have you guys with us. I hope you had a blessed week, and I want to thank you guys for the encouragement, the letters, the Merry Christmases, the prayers, all of that support coming from you guys. It is more encouraging than I can even say. We are going to be reading off some numbers. Actually, Little Orphan Annie came into the studio earlier, and she recorded the numbers, despite the fact that she's fighting a brutal cold. But there's a mission, right, kids? When there's a mission to be done, well, the mission comes first. So she plowed through it and did her best, and so we're grateful for that. We're going to get to that here in just a little bit. I want to remind you that we will not be having an episode. We will not be airing on Christmas Eve, our normal Sunday evening broadcasts on Sunday evening. So Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, we will not be having a show, but we will have a show on KTW, which will, of course, be uploaded to the Podbean player for you to listen to, or 30-minute primer. Those are going to be going out on Saturday from 9 to 9:30 a.m., on the AM and FM dial and live streaming. And of course, we upload the audio version of that right afterwards. So we're pressed for time. I'm going to get right into the, hold on before I get into the news and commentary. Right now, we understand that there's a live streaming issue with the iOperating systems. If you have an Apple mobile device, such as a tablet or a cell phone, even though we have the correct code in there, it's not working. So we're going to get a hold of the tech folks and get to the bottom of that, find out what's broken in that code for you guys. So you can still listen on your laptop, of course, Android devices, listening on your computer, your PC and all that stuff. Everything's working great. But for some reason, the iOperating systems, it's got to be Apple. It's always got to be a problem. It's going to be Apple. Proprietary snobs. They don't want anything working on their system that's not made by them. But anyway, we're going to get through it. So, tech support, they're already working on it. So thanks for them. But, all right, let's get down to the news and commentary. The news and commentary is brought to you by the author Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series, with all 10 books out now. Go check them out at 299days.com. We're going to get into positive news stories. It's Christmas, so we're going to stay away from the doom and gloom, but this is great. From the Free Thought Project, pick this up off of AR15.com. Since feeding the homeless is now illegal, a group carried AR-15s to give out food, and it worked. Feeding and clothing the homeless in the land of the free has now become a revolutionary act, apparently. Luckily, however, there are still good people willing to carry out that act. In December of 2014, this is recirculating, so this is a few years old, but check this out. This was cool. How did this get missed? Because this was just put out. So we've got our staff behind the scenes. But I think what happened was this ordinance was passed in 2014, and then just this week, this all went down. So we're trying to confirm this. But I know in December of 2014, that's when Dallas City Council enacted Ordinance 29595. Makes it illegal to serve food to the homeless. Okay, so you can feed the homeless, but you've got to jump through all kinds of red tape. So Matthew Short, with the aptly named organization Don't Comply, and dozens of volunteers from children to adults alike took to the streets of Dallas this week to hand out food, sleeping bags, clothing, and tents to the areas less fortunate. And as the Truth, the Free Thought Project has reported on numerous occasions, oftentimes police will swoop in and shut down those who would dare defy the authority of the state and conduct charity without a permit. Does this sound familiar? As they took to the streets this week, many of the members of the organization openly carried their weapons. It was done not out of an act of intimidation, but merely to assert rights as well as protect them. The resultant heavy armed group of do-gooders effectively staved off any attempts by police to shut down the charitable efforts. Isn't this something? So when they were interviewed, they said, we're not complying with a bad law today. That's Short, who is the PR director from Don't Comply. He said, evidently, the city of Dallas believes it is wrong or bad or unlawful for us to feed more than a certain number of people at a time. But during Christmas, we want to show love to our community and give these people a chance to survive the winter. You can go read the article there for yourself by clicking on the link that we're going to have in the highlights and resources posting. And that is encouraging. That's real. That's Americanism. Real news. President Trump doesn't want you to miss. Category of news. President Trump cuts the red tape on deregulation. On Thursday, President Donald Trump gave Americans an update on his deregulation agenda in the Roosevelt Room of the White House. The president explained that in his first 11 months in office, his administration has canceled or delayed over 1,500 planned regulatory actions. Hallelujah. What, minimizing the growth of government? This is unprecedented. How arrogant. Somebody needs to do something. A new push against human trafficking on flights. This is from the Wall Street Journal. The Department of Homeland Security is helping U.S. airports and airlines educate their staffs about how to identify victims of human trafficking and how to alert authorities without tipping off the traffickers. The Wall Street Journal's extensive report shows that this push is part of a growing effort to thwart human trafficking crimes in the United States under the Trump administration. Isn't this great? First Lady, she's gaining points too. This week, First Lady Melania Trump visited a holiday toy drive sponsored by the U.S. Marine Corps, you know, Toys for Tots, to speak about the spirit of giving during the holiday season. What if they had to have AR-15s to stave off police to stop them from handing out toys to kids? Oh, that would, you know, that'd be in your inner cities, I guess. Dallas, Houston. The First Lady challenged Americans to continue pitching in beyond the Christmas holiday and into the new year, especially on behalf of those families affected by the recent hurricanes. This is something that the left can't quite grasp. They think that they need to coerce you to give, and then they get to decide who gets to give and how much, who gets to receive and how much you should give. There's no charity in that, although that's the umbrella that they hide under. While they're coercing you to give, they're skimming theirs off the top and giving and enabling people that, oh, this is just not good. But when you give charity from the heart, people give so much more. They're so much more willing. And also the money is usually handled much more responsibly. But when you get a status handling money and coercing you to give so that they can decide who to give it to, it just never works out good. Trump signs a $700 billion defense policy into law, says military has got to be perfecto. I can hear him saying that. So he signed the 2018 National Defense Authorization Act, fulfilling his campaign promise of a major military buildup, which is probably a really good thing because, well, all of our adversaries are building theirs up as well, right? So he outpaces, President Trump outpaces the previous president, who will not be named, with 19 federal court judges confirmed. This is good news for us because the previous administration ran by the so-called president, who will not be named, was on a record-breaking campaign to place leftist, communist, activist judges in all of those positions. Of course, we're seeing the fallout from that, but it is good to see President Trump taking that, giving them a run for their money, the previous administration. Sheesh. Good job. Good job. Here's something. Remember when Chicago's crime was just so out of control and President Trump said, even on the campaign trail, said he wouldn't be opposed to putting National Guard on the streets? He says, when he becomes president, he says, if you don't get your own act cleaned up, I'll mobilize the National Guard. The federal government will come in and clean up the crime. And they went ballistic. Oh, there he is. He's Hitler. He's going to bring military forces against American citizens and clean up the crime, which, of course, is like Mogadishu. But we won't even talk about the weapons that are being supplied to these gangs that you would think, if this were in another country, you'd think this was a nation-state sponsorship arms buildup. Or maybe that's what this is. Arming gangs with military-grade weaponry. Where's that coming from? Well, the leftists got their own idea. Apparently, who was this? Cook County Commissioner Richard Boykin flew to New York to discuss what he described as a quiet genocide in Chicago's black community with the UN's Assistant Secretary General for peace building support. He was talking about looking at options for bringing in the UN to help stop this quiet genocide that's happening in Chicago. They're talking about the crime. A genocide is when one race or ethnic group tries to purge another ethnic group. And this is black on black crime. It's a quiet genocide. You know, if you want to call them a genocide, how about all of the Planned Parenthoods in the greater Chicago area that are killing, I could safely guess, 10-to-1 ratio, easily, black children are being killed from abortions than from violence on the streets from firearms. But, oh man, that's taboo. You can't bring that up. Yeah, I forgot about that. There's rules around here, or not here, in the free zones. We kind of break those chains, but in the rest of occupied territory, you can't bring that kind of stuff up. You can't mention those kind of arguments. Anyway, hey, when we come back, segment two is coming up. We are going to give away, and we're going to read the numbers for your chance to win, if you're under 18 years old, an official Red Ryder carbine action 200-shot range model air rifle with a compass in the stock and this thing which tells time. It is serial number 100 out of only 2,500 produced. The 35-year anniversary edition coming up. Stay right there. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
From all of the partisans at Radio Free Redoubt, thank you, listeners and AMRON operators, for being out there. Have a very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.
It's troubling to see our Christian heritage come under attack, isn't it? Right here in our own homeland. The first phase, that of removing references to Christ from public school Christmas programs, is creating the vacuum that phase two is poised to fill. Humans have a deeply inherent spiritual need to worship. We were made for it. The militant atheists claim they're striving for freedom from religion, but it shouldn't surprise us that their claims are disingenuous. Enter phase two. We are now seeing Muslim songs and references to Ramadan creeping into what are traditionally Christmas holiday season programs in our schools. Where are the atheists to chant and protest that religion has no place in the public schools? I haven't heard any. Well, there are voices of protest to the Islamification of our children. They are the voices of Christian parents who are told to be quiet and stop being Islamophobic or racist. Christians are beaten down and told they're not being loving or good Americans when they speak out against the Hijra, the Islamic invasion through cultural jihad. What will it take to convince the American people that Islam is not peaceful? It is anti-Christian and it is anti-American. Don't be fooled, Christian patriots. Islam is not peaceful. It is patient. A sniper laying in his hide for hours or days is peaceful too, isn't he? I want to encourage the Christians, the remnant, to be bold in your faith. Christmas is about Christ and Christ alone, and I can't think of anything more American than that, so accept nothing less. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Who's that little chatterbox, the one that's pretty auburn locks? Whom do you see? It's little orphan Annie. She and Sandy make.
We're here with segment two, Voice of the American Redoubt, and this segment is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping patriots get strategically relocated into the free zones. They specialize in properties in the northern part of the panhandle of North Idaho, or I should say Northern Idaho. Got a little ahead of myself. It's not North Idaho yet. It's just Northern Idaho. But if Boise keeps up their leftist shenanigans, there just might be a North and South Idaho. You're on notice. We're watching you. All right, kids, it is time. Now, before we get into the numbers and have Orphan Annie read the numbers to you, don't forget you can tune in on the HF Net's high frequency amateur radio or just a shortwave radio with single sideband and tune in and listen to the Santa Nets and might even be able to catch Mrs. Claus. Those nets are going on 3916 kilohertz. You can go to amron.com or even radiofreeredoubt.com to find out how you can tune in and listen to Santa Claus. And if you got a ham radio operator in your circle, you can tune in, have the little ones actually talk to them. And that's just a real special treat. Now, don't forget, the eve of Christmas, Christmas Eve, and the evening before that, from about 1400 hours to 2000 hours, that's 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the 14.300 net. That's the Santa Claus net. You'll be able to talk to Santa Claus from those times on the frequencies we got listed, 14.300. And then it's kind of move around the dial until you find them. So they should be right there at 14300 or 305, roughly. So here we go. We're going to get this. So I want to remind you here, we've got some prizes that we're going to be giving away. You guys already know about the grand prize, the official Red Ryder carbine action 200-shot range model air rifle with a compass in the stock. And this thing which tells time, it is the 35-year anniversary edition. We've got number 100 out of 2,500. Daisy, the Daisy Museum, sold out of the original ones. We actually gave away two of those, and they started running a reproduction, the 35-year anniversary edition. That's what this is from. So second prize is going to be a WeMake brand FM radio soldering kit with the tools to build an FM radio. Depending on the age of the kids, you're going to need some parental guidance there. This would be good for the parents. It's a great project for kids to work on together or parents to work on with their kids. And that's a lot of fun. The third prize, well, it depends on if it's a girl or a boy, but we've got the Girl's Book of Adventure or the Boy's Book of Adventure. It's the little guidebook for smart and resourceful boys or girls, depending on who wins that. And that'll also come with a second book, Survivor Kid, a practical guide to wilderness survival, made by kids for kids. It's a really cool thing. And we added a bonus. We're going to add a fourth prize, and this is Spy Science, 40 secret sleuthing, code cracking, spy catching activities for kids. Discover how spies use science to keep or uncover top secrets. Learn how to go undercover, master Morse code, and even build devices to see and hear through walls. These and dozens of other fun-filled activities give you an inside look at the science behind spy gadgets and tricks of the trade. Tricks of the trade for you in this listening audience, you know what that's called? Tradecraft. Tradecraft. Even the kids in this audience know that. This is tradecraft. One-time pads, that's tradecraft. But they call it Gadgets and Tricks of the Trade. All the activities are completely safe and can be done with everyday stuff from around the house. That's Spy Science. 40 secret sleuthing, code cracking, spy catching activities for kids. Lots of fun. Okay, so remember, you have to use the one-time pad labeled Nativity. You can find that by clicking the picture of the Nativity scene in the Young Partisan Practice Exercise posting on RadioFreeRedoubt.com or Amron.com. When you decrypt the message, it will reveal a location, an address. Now use the internet mapping program or any, like, well, Google would probably be the best for this, Google Maps, to find out what's there. And here's a little fun tip. Once you find the location, if you're using Google Maps, use the Street View icon, and that will take you on a tour inside of this place that's at this address. But anyway, once you locate the address, report to headquarters what it is at that location by emailing johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. This is what you need to do. You must type in Red Rider in the subject line. Then, in the email, let us know what it is at that address and put the address in that you decrypted and let us know what is there at that location. Let us know what your code name is along with your entry and put your location in the email with the decoded message and what you saw at that address. Now, your name will be announced. Okay, so use your code name. You do not want to use your real name because the communists might be listening. And lastly, be sure to have your email sent in no later than midnight this coming Tuesday night, December 19th. The winners will be notified on Wednesday, December 20th, and we'll put up a special posting announcing the winners and their code names and your general location, and that will be posted. So, Little Orphan Annie, let's hear it.
It's Little Orphan Annie. She and Sandy make a pair.
Good evening, young partisans. This is Little Orphan Annie with your secret coded message. And now here are the numbers. Write them down carefully. 2, 3, 2, 4, 2. 2, 9, 0, 3, 5. 9, 4, 0, 4, 5. 7, 3, 7, 3, 7. 5, 4, 3, 9, 5. 5, 2, 5, 0, 6. 9, 6, 8, 4, 3. 3, 6, 8, 8. 6, 5, 5, 6, 6, 1. 1, 8, 4, 3, 6. 4, 4, 8. 6, 8. 7, 9, 3, 7, 5. 7, 9, 0, 4, 6. 5, 8, 5, 9, 9. And that's it. Good luck and thank you to all the young partisans for participating. God bless and Merry Christmas.
She and Sandy make a pair. They never seem to have a care. you little sheep, this little orphan Annie.
This is a special holiday broadcast brought to you by Radio Free Readout. On behalf of all the staff and Radio Free Readout partisans, Merry Christmas.
Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Zed from Central Illinois wishing Amron and Radio Free Readout a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and everybody have a blessed one.
This is Amron Corps Operator Charlie Mike 01 wishing everyone a blessed Merry Christmas.
This is Juliet 59 from the Texas Readout wishing Amron and Radio Free Readout listeners a blessed Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
This is Old Crow wishing y'all a very Merry Christmas and a Happy and Prosperous New Year from the Southern Readout.
This is Bravo Delta 01 from deep in the American Readout wishing all the Radio Free Readout listeners and Amron members a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
This is Polly 01 wishing the Amron members and Radio Free Readout listeners a Merry Christmas.
This is Wingnut from Minnesota, wishing y'all the Amron a Happy New Year and Merry Christmas. Enjoy time with family and friends, and just remember why we call it Christmas. This is Wingnut, clear.
This is Delta 04 from the Readout of the South, wishing Amron a very Merry Christmas.
This is Charlie Delta 06, deep from within the liberal socialist stronghold of Seattle. I'm wishing Amron and everybody a very Merry Christmas.
And God bless us, everyone.
All right, we are back with segment three. And this is something I wanted to do for you guys. This is from, and by the way, I'm going to, later on, I'm going to record a bonus segment four. That will be uploaded with the Podbean. And I want to share an after action review that was sent in to me from Ground Zero of the Thomas Fire in California going on right now in Ojai. This was just so many great, valuable learning lessons. The guy did a great job of sharing his personal firsthand accounts. I'm going to share that in segment four, which will be added later on tonight as a bonus, which will be included in the uploaded version of this podcast that will be available at podbean.com. Of course, remember that all of the stuff that we talk about, we put links in the highlights and resources posting for each show. So be looking for this one, episode 1739. It's the 39th podcast of 2017. So segment three is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design, designs to help you thrive and to keep you safe, helping you achieve a life of liberty on your property as a retreat or a homestead, or just trying to get the most as far as energy production, food production, self-reliance, sustainability, and security, all that wrapped in. They provide a lot of really great services. Go to strategiclandscapedesign.com. Okay, this is what I want to cover in segment three. As you know, Representative Matt Shea revealed some documents through Redoubt News. And this was very exciting to be a part of. And so I was in there in this meeting, and Sherry Duvalli went on live, Facebook Live, and Representative Matt Shea disclosed what was in this document from Special Agent Wooten from the Department of the Bureau of Land Management, outlining several grievances within the department and things that were unethical and possibly even illegal, and things that could completely get the case against the Patriots over the Bundy Ranch situation completely thrown out. This is very exciting. Now, Oregon Live picked up on this, but this is kind of disingenuous. They wrote in their article, the 18-page document obtained Thursday by the Oregonian Oregon Live is dated November 27th. Okay, this is what you need to know. Those little weasels did not give full credit to Redoubt News, because how they obtained it in their article, it's like they are the original source of this information. They're not. They said they obtained this 18-page document. How did they obtain it? Because a reader of Redoubt News sent them a link to Redoubt News' article, which had the embedded PDF file that you could download. And so they're looking at a Redoubt News article, who is the original source of the content, revealing this whistleblower from the government, outlining this unethical activities by the Bureau of Land Management. So Oregon Live, what they do is they download the PDF and go, oh, we've just obtained this PDF. Let's write an article, as if they're the original source. It's so disingenuous. Maxine Bernstein is the author over there, Oregon Live, and her email address is M as in Mike, Bernstein, Bernstein, at Oregonian.com. Matter of fact, we've got Twitter, Maxo. You know, we're going to put this up. There's her phone number, there's her Twitter, and there's her email address. It might be helpful if some patriots just shot her a friendly little email saying, could you please give proper credit to the original source for this document that you obtained? And could you please be honest by stating that you obtained it by a reader of Redoubt News, who passed Redoubt News' article on to you, and Redoubt News was so kind as to embed the PDF file for the readers to download and see the original document themselves, and stop taking credit for this yourself, like you did something wonderful by obtaining this document when it was actually just dumped in your lap. So thank you, Maxine Bernstein, for your honesty. I'm thanking you in advance because I'm just trusting you're going to do the right thing. Now, what are you going to do?
Sherry, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it, and I appreciate everything you guys are doing with Redoubt News. You've been doing a wonderful job covering the trial down in Nevada. I would like to first start, some of the things I'm going to be talking about today are extremely serious, and I don't want to be overly dramatic, but I think you'll see why here in a second I'm about to say what I'm about to say. I have never had in my entire life ever any inclination to commit suicide. I have never in my entire life taken inappropriate pictures and stored them on my computer. In fact, I've had my computer forensically searched for such images. And generally speaking, I love my wife dearly, and we have a wonderful and happy marriage. So with that, everybody's like, whoa, what do you have to say? Well, I want to start with a couple of things. First, there's a very important principle that I would like to start out with, of kind of why what I'm about to say is so important to the American people, and it's this. The people of this state, and this comes from Washington State's Public Records Act, the people of this state do not yield their sovereignty to the agencies that serve them. The people in delegating authority do not give their public servants the right to decide what is good for the people to know and what is not good for them to know. People insist on remaining informed so that they may maintain control over the instruments that they have created. And that ultimately is the crux of what I am about to talk about today, since it does involve the Bureau of Land Management. Specifically here in Washington State, the Bureau of Land Management has approximately 435,000 acres under its management. Also, it has many interactions with some of our state agencies and also, obviously, our citizens here in Washington State. One of the very important things to me is that when you are a servant of the government, and as we have seen, a servant of the people, as we have seen in recent news stories, you are held to a higher standard because you are a servant of the people, not a servant of the government. That's an important point for what I'm about to talk about. The interesting thing that I have seen over the years is that there has been a flipping of that, where a lot of people that are in the governing authorities have felt like they don't serve the people serve them, and it's just not that way. And so today I would like to break some information that I have obtained. It is a correspondence between Special Agent Larry C. Wooten to Andrew D. Goldsmith, who's the Associate Deputy Attorney General, of the United States of America. And recently we've heard, and you've reported on rumors, that there has been a move to dismiss the case against the Bundys down in Nevada. And what I am about to tell you is probably one of the reasons why. And it has to do with the unethical, potentially illegal behavior that was highlighted by Special Agent Wooten as a whistleblower in an email that, or it looks like an email, that we have confirmed the veracity of. And I want to just give you a little bit of a taste reading from this email of what Special Agent Wooten brought up as problems we found in the Bureau of Land Management, specifically in regards to the investigation of the Bundy family. Quote, I routinely observed and the investigation revealed a widespread pattern of bad judgment, lack of discipline, incredible bias, unprofessionalism and misconduct, as well as likely policy, ethical, and legal violations among senior and supervisory staff at the BLM's Office of Law Enforcement and Security. When I reported these issues, my supervisor seemed generally unsurprised and uninterested and was dismissive and seemed unconcerned. Now, I want to set the stage a little bit here. Apparently, Special Agent Wooten was the case agent or the lead investigator for this case. Here's another quote from him. The longer the investigation went on, the more extremely unprofessional, familiar, racy, vulgar, and bias-filled actions, open comments, and inappropriate electronic communications I was made aware of or I personally witnessed, end quote. He then continues, quote, the ridiculousness of the conduct, unprofessional, amateurish, carnival atmosphere, openly made statements and electronic communications tended to mitigate the defendant's culpability and cast a shadow of doubt of inexcusable bias, unprofessionalism, and embarrassment on our agency, end quote. This is where it gets very incredible, because Special Agent Wooten brings up some very serious allegations against his own agency, and I want to kind of highlight what those are, and then I would like to go through what specifically is written in this correspondence. First, Special Agent Wooten says that there was the treatment of the Bundys in a manner that suggested they wanted to see a couple members of the Bundy family either dead or harmed. And I want to be very specific about what he said about that in here. The second thing that's brought up is that there was an apparent withholding of exculpatory evidence that Mr. Wooten had brought to the attention of his supervisors. Next was that there was allegations of sexual misconduct inside the BLM's law enforcement arm, and that also there were indeed at Bundy Ranch snipers that had been deployed. Now, it's interesting because I personally have been witnessing the news reports that have been out there, some of the things you've been breaking, that snipers were in fact maybe not there, and that was the government's position in a previous hearing. This document very clearly is the smoking gun, not only in this case, but I believe an indictment of BLM itself and maybe even potentially the prosecutors that are involved in this case. And I want to read again some of the things that are in here, because some of it is so outrageous that I will be sending a letter very specifically to Congress. We'll be sending a letter to Secretary Zinke and the Trump administration so that they can take the appropriate action and prosecute the bad actors for some of the behavior that has occurred inside the BLM. I also want to be very specific that the Trump administration is probably going to be blindsided by this, as I was blindsided by this information coming to me. And I believe that they have been doing the right thing when they have been given the facts, and I have every confidence the Trump administration is going to do the right thing in this case to bring those to justice that have either violated the letter of the law or the spirit of the law or policies internal to BLM. So let me go down a couple of these things that are in this correspondence, again from Special Agent Wooten. Quote, the misconduct caused considerable disruption in the workplace, was discriminatory, harassing, and showed clear prejudice against the defendants, their supporters, and Mormons. Oftentimes, the misconduct centered on being sexually inappropriate, profanity, appearance, slash body shaming, and likely violated privacy and civil rights. Next, he says, extreme bias and degrading flyers, extremely biased and degrading flyers were also openly displayed and passed around the office. A booking photo of Clive and Bundy was and is inappropriately, openly, prominently, and proudly displayed in the office of a potential trial witness and my supervisor, and an altered, degrading suspect photos were put in the office presentation by his supervisor. End quote. The next quote is, quote, my supervisor even instigated the unprofessional monitoring of jail calls between defendants and their wives without prosecutor or FBI consent for the apparent purpose of making fun of the post-arrest telephone calls between Idaho defendants slash FBI targets, end quote. That is an extraordinary statement, that they are admitting what seems to be a very clear violation of, if not policy, the spirit or letter of the law. I also find it very interesting as well that they were putting things up in the office when some of those members of that office had to testify. I think there are some very clear rules that say you should not do that for many different reasons. I will move next to some more comments that he had and then get into something that is probably the most shocking part of this entire correspondence. Quote, this carnival, inappropriate, and childish behavior didn't stop with the directed bias and degradation of subjects of investigation. BLM law enforcement supervisors also openly talked about and gossiped about private employee personnel matters, such as medical conditions, work performance, marriage issues, religion, punishments, internal investigations, and derogatory opinions of high-level BLM supervisors. He also says, quote, there was a religious test of sorts, and he was personally asked, quote, you're not a Mormon, are you? And he was told, quote, I bet you think I'm going to hell, end quote. He continues, quote, that the investigation also indicated that on multiple occasions, former BLM special agent in charge, Love, specifically and purposely ignored U.S. Attorney's Office and BLM's civilian management direction and intent, as well as Nevada State official recommendations in order to command the most intrusive, oppressive, large-scale, and militaristic trespass cattle impound possible, end quote. I want to comment on that for a second. If government exists to protect the rights of life, liberty, and property, and you have now a special agent in charge questioning the handling of this situation, that it was intentionally made intrusive, oppressive, large-scale, and militaristic, we have a problem in America today. And those people that did this need to be held accountable for it. And I have, again, every confidence the Trump administration will do so. It's also interesting to note that Special Agent Wooten said that he had contacted Attorney Stephen Myrie and Assistant United States Attorney Nadia Ahmed, as well as the Federal Bureau of Investigation Special Agent Joel Willis by telephone on these issues. And as you read through the document, which we will post online here as soon as this segment is done, very specifically, he seems to imply that nothing was ever done by any of those folks. And that at the very least needs to be investigated further if that is indeed the correct implication. But the most shocking part of this entire thing, I believe, is that the BLM law enforcement arm and one of his supervisors, quote, emailed out photographs of an arrest tracking wall in which Eric Parker and Clive and Bundy had X's through their face and body. And then he puts in quotation or in parentheses, indicating prejudice and bias in parentheses. Well, I think that's a little bit more than prejudice and bias, in my opinion, because later in this document, he says, quote, time after time, I was told of former BLM special agent in charge Love's misconduct. I was told by BLM law enforcement supervisors that he had a kill book. Well, every American needs to understand what I just said. That you have a special agent in charge that had a kill book. Well, was that turned over to the defense? How is that due process? I mean, there's a lot of questions this statement by Special Agent Wooten raises, but he continues, quote, as a trophy and in essence bragged about getting three individuals. individuals in Utah to commit suicide, which is why I gave the statement I did at the beginning of this segment, because that is that's probably one of the most startling statements I have ever read in any investigation I've ever been a part of in the last 15 years. That is beyond startling. But he goes on and he cites the specific operations that were bragged about. Apparently Operation Cerberus, which I don't even know what that is, but we'll find out, and I know you reported on it, I think. Also, the Failure Rock and Burning Man special event where, quote, he was unlawfully removing evidence, bragging about the number of OIG and internal investigations on him, and indicating that he was untouchable, end quote. Those are some of the most shocking statements, again, that I have heard in a long time. And people may try to discredit Special Agent Wooten later, but internal to this document, he also says that he was removed from the case on February 18, 2017 by his supervisor, despite his recently documented and awarded hard work and excellence and often praised performance within Bureau of Land Management. He says, quote, "I am convinced that I was removed to prevent the ethical and proper further disclosure, the severe misconduct, failure to correct and report, and cover-ups by the BLM OLES supervision. Time after time," this is where he starts in about the kill book, but he goes on and says, "I became convinced that my supervisor failed to properly disclose substantive and exculpatory case and witness bias-related issues to the United States Attorney General's office, which they have a duty to disclose exculpatory evidence. And since we don't know what's happening in these sealed hearings, I suspect this is what is giving rise to all the rumors that this case is going to be dismissed. If this type of exculpatory evidence was withheld, I mean, my goodness. But it gets even more interesting when it talks about, in this document, that Dave Bundy's iPad likely contained remarks from BLM law enforcement officers that is potentially evidence of civil rights violations and use of excessive force. Mr. Myrie," this is again talking about the attorney, the prosecutor, "and my supervisor not only apparently failed to initiate the proper follow-on actions, Mr. Myrie apparently failed to notify defense counsel and also decided not to return the iPad back to Dave Bundy, even though the iPad wasn't going to be searched pursuant to a search warrant or used as evidence in trial."
Okay, guys, so I'm going to end right there. Segment three, we're going to upload segment four as a bonus. I'm going to talk about the after-action review from the fires. You'll be able to look for that on podbean.com. That's radiofreeredoubt.podbean.com. That'll be at late tonight, early tomorrow morning for your commute. You'll have all four segments there for you. You guys have a blessed, blessed week. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And we will not be doing a Sunday night podcast for the next 2 weeks, because it's Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. So thank you for your understanding. Thank you for your patience. But do join us on Saturdays on the American Christian Network affiliates on KTW. And we'll be in touch with you guys. I've got a lot of work to do over the so-called Christmas break. Won't be a break for me, but it will kind of give me a little breathing room to get caught up on a lot of stuff as I slowly kind of rebuild my life here. And it's going to take a while. So, okay, God bless all of you. God bless us, everyone. And to you young partisans out there, good luck. I know you're working on that one-time pad message right now. I look forward to seeing those emails. You stay safe out there. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. I am John Jacob Schmidt. Good night. This is segment four, a bonus segment for this special Christmas edition. What you just heard there as we broke off from segment three was from a video of a recreation of a true event that took place. It's called the Christmas Truce of 1914. And that was between World War One forces out on the battlefields who took a break. The German, French troops, and several other troops that were engaging with one another on Christmas night. And it's a really interesting story. It's really moving and really shows how the human element of war. And I always like to share that as the Christmas truce of 1914. So I'm going to play the rest of that, and we'll also post the video on RadioFreeRedoubt.com. It will certainly be on our Facebook page, but I do want to bring to you a bonus section here with an after-action review from the wildfires in California that are going on right now. But segment four is brought to you by Works Holsters. That's Works LLC, a custom-made holster company right here in the American Redoubt, with a lifetime guarantee on all their products. Go to www.works.com. That's W-E-R-K-Z. Okay, now, when I left off, I didn't explain something in segment three, and that is that segment just kind of abruptly went into Matt, Representative Matt Shea's public, his a press release, really, I guess his press statement in response to these leaked documents about improprieties and unethical and possibly even illegal actions by the Bureau of Land Management. But I want to make sure that, first of all, full credit goes to Redoubt News. That was from Sherry Duvalli, her live streaming that, breaking that story. And Redoubt News has just been doing a phenomenal job covering those trials, spending a tremendous amount of man hours, time, energy, and money. Very difficult for them to do financially and just time-wise, what that took out of them. They, I'll tell you what, they deserve the Radio Free Redoubt Patriots of the Year Award. Goes to Redoubt News for just the amazing work that they've done over there. Just so diligent, so selfless, and self-sacrificing to be able to get the truth. And it just is really encouraging to see other patriots out there that are just really doing, surpassed anyone else. Nobody, no one else has done as much in-depth coverage of the trials with the Bundy Ranch standoff and the Oregon trials and all of it. So they definitely deserve all the credit for that. And if you go to redoubtnews.com, they are just actually an update. There's even more revealing information that Representative Matt Shea put out through Redoubt News. And so go and get the updates there for that. Okay, there is a after action review from for the Ventura County, California Thomas fire that a user on the calguns.net message board posted. And there's so much good and useful observation, or so many good and useful observations in this AAR that this Ameron Corps operator who caught this thought it'd make a great article for Ameron.com and a segment for Radio Free Redoubt. And as he says, it really shows the fear and uncertainty which grips people who lack reliable information. So he reached out to this individual who posted this after-action review from his account, his firsthand accounts of going through the wildfire situation that's still going on right now in California. So we've got this this linked, and we will get that posted in the highlights and resources posting. And I think this is also something worthwhile for Poly01. If you could make a note, I'll work with you this week. We'll see about getting that set up as a completely separate post. But this is what it says. Ground Zero of the Thomas Fire by user Wooly Max out of Ojai, California. He says, hello, gents. I waited a little bit before posting this to make sure I thought everything through and it would be useful to others. Let's start with what went wrong. Reliance on media/fire emergency operations center, or a coordinator, emergency operations coordinator. Nobody had any clue what was going on. I tried getting Facebook, Twitter, news, etc. The reports were always hours behind and inaccurate. Facebook was the worst for people saying things like, I heard the inn burned down. Are they evacuating Nordhoff High School's Red Cross Center? It was impossible to get accurate information. I resolved to splitting shifts with my brothers and dad who live local to keep an eye on things and guess the fire's movements. Next category, preparations. He says, I have 2 months of emergency food, several hundred gallons of water, guns, Goal Zero Yeti 150, solar panel. I can sustain my quality of life for at least a few months in total grid down. Nobody else seemed to have preparations ready. I had to decide early on to help people to get to the Red Cross Evacuation Center instead of extending my preps to others. What was I missing? Something to boil large amounts of water. We were on a boil order most of the week. Masks, P100 respirators and cartridges. Also, bought some child-sized ones. Large smoke 3M filters that you can put behind a box fan, and a carbon and HEPA filtration unit. Plastic and tape to seal drafty windows or doors. Sawyer water filters. Better communications, going to get ham stuff finished up. Good man. Gasoline. Lines were hours long to get gas. People were getting into fistfights over who pulled in first, etc. Next category, the Red Cross. I spent most of my days assisting the Red Cross Center as they had no idea what they were doing. I think they were trying. I think the people's hearts were in the right place for sure. But the amount of services they can provide are basically a cot, a wool blanket, and the occasional bite of food at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Donations came pouring in that helped provide clothing, diapers, water, and other amenities. I would not expect that in a different emergency scenario, honestly. So, if part of your plan is to head to one of these centers, I would, at minimum, bring some food, water, sleeping bags, and wet wipes, soap, and shampoo. We did have showers going for people. Again, I do not mean to say the Red Cross didn't do a good job, but don't expect them to have any clue what's going on. In my opinion, and only my opinion, the Red Cross Evacuation Center in Ojai should have been closed and everyone sent down the hill. The air quality and food aspects were so tough and that if I were in charge, I would have shut it down. The next category, the human factor, people. I simultaneously saw the best and worst behavior in humankind. Selfishness was rampant. Everyone wanting to be the exception to the rule. People were coming up from Oxnard and Ventura, clogging the streets to get a look at the fire. Facebook feeds were full of misinformation and fear-mongering. It was disgusting. I also saw people band together and fill in places that people were missing. A young boy and a girl saw me unloading cots and blankets from the back of my truck and asked to volunteer. They were a huge help, and at one point, I asked the girl if her sniffles were due to the fire, allergies, or friends. She told me she believed her house burned down and she did not know what her and her dad were going to do. This was caused by the a-holes on Facebook spreading rumors saying they had driven through her neighborhood and it was all lost. Wonderful. I saw people dropping off games, water, food, books, clothes, and other needs. They were lending trucks and trailers, putting people up for the night, and even singing together to take the minds off of the disaster. It was beautiful, and I tried to focus on the good during that week and let go of anyone that was acting poorly. What would I do differently? I should have focused on myself more and others less. I should have left when it all started. But due to my work situation, I was not going to leave my staff members who were tasked with assisting Red Cross. I felt that a captain must go down with his ship, and so I stayed long after I should have to make sure my team was supported and had my presence. This is probably foolish, as I bet I did damage to my lungs, and I'm fighting other physical ramifications for long hours, no sleep, and poor hygiene. Weird things to note. He writes, many houses burned down because their wood chip piles caught fire. You know, the low water usage craze and lawn removal everyone's excited about. Well, you put tinder down in its place and that stuff is flammable. There are two types of people that you want to watch out for. The optimist and pessimist. Both are acting out in fear and insecurity. They are full of crap and will either get you killed from being optimistic that road is still open, or so pessimistic that you end up rushing to judgment and getting hurt. They usually stop when someone else steps in to take control. Recognize this and decide to be a man of action. Think of things for people to do. Sitting around all day is a breeding ground of overthinking. Task them to fill water jugs, gather trash, send them on an errand to take a picture of an area. Have them print out the latest wind map. Just figure things for them to do so they are moving. Dopamine is helpful in these situations. Do not expect road closures to be up to date. Several times when they were closed, I heard people got through. When the website said it was open, they were closed. It was so touch and go, which is why I feel like I should have just left and gotten out of harm's way. Trouble is, my bug out cabin was lost in the other fire this year. So that concludes that after action review. And I love sharing these stories. I think it's something that we should probably try to add, every so often or more often, is personal accounts. I can attest to what this gentleman's saying. We experienced the same thing in the Washington wildfires a couple of years ago. We had Ameron Corps operators supporting emergency communications, and it was a wonderful experience. It was a very rewarding experience. We were definitely challenged. It was very unique. It was something that we grew from as an organization for all the operators who directly were involved, either by deploying or supporting the deployed operators. So it was really good. We shared a lot of those experiences as well. But accurate and timely communications, it's huge. And amateur radio really is definitely one of the keys to staying up on that timely information. So something to add to your preps. I know many of you out there are already very much involved with emergency communications. And thank you guys. For those of you who aren't, get your comms up. So anyway, I'm glad. I hope you enjoyed that. We're going to add more to this. I've got several thoughts that I could add to this, but I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. I wish you guys have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year and just a really blessed week. Thank you all for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Really, just thank you for being out there. And those young partisans, we've already got one-time pad entries coming in with the subject line Red Rider. Congratulations. Getting a jump start on it. Those are future partisans. So thank you and great work. This is John Jacob Schmidt. And this is the voice of the American Redoubt. And if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, well, you know the rest. I'll close out and let you listen to the rest of this Christmas Truce 1914. And check out the video when you get a chance. We'll have that posted. You can just go to YouTube and type in Christmas Truce 1914. But I'll just play out the audio for the rest of this. Merry Christmas. And good night.
I bring it to come.
Jim?
No, don't do it.
Halt!
Es nicht bewaffnet.
Nein, not so.
My name is Jim.
My name is Otto.
Pleased to meet you, Otto.
Freut mich.
Rose, she's called.
Schön. Schön. Danke. Happy Christmas. Frohe Weihnachten.